Good morning, everyone. I notice that Marlene Stark is here with us this morning. And that's after a few weeks in hospital. So welcome back to your church family, Marlene. Lovely to have you worshipping the Lord with us. Today, we're going to look at God's perspective on life. What life is really like. Seeing life from God's perspective and seeing the error of unbiblical worldviews because they have tremendous influence over your life. Today, I want us to look at the question, why does it matter what I believe? And I want us to think about what a worldview is. Why is it important? First, what is a worldview? Definition. My worldview is the beliefs that I build my life on. It's how I view everything in life. It's how I view God. It's how I view myself. It's how I view other people. It's how I view Satan. My worldview includes my thoughts about life, about death, about the past, the present, and the future. Everything about life, everything you think about life is included in what we call our worldview. And you may never have thought about it before, but that's what it is. It's a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. It's very important because it's the most important tool you have in life. It's not some intellectual theory or some philosophical concept. It's the most practical thing in your life. Your worldview determines all your relationships. It determines your success and failure. It determines your goals, your motivations, what you attempt in life. All of these things are influenced by your worldview. And if you want to change your life, you have to change your mind first. You don't think about your worldview unless you sit down and consider the basis on which you make your decisions. That's what we're going to do today. Look at the why. Because you may be operating on an outdated, outmoded, out of order, faulty or false world view. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. In the Living Bible translation, it says, when anyone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. The old passes away, a new life has begun. That means if you have begun a relationship with Christ, then you have stepped across the line spiritually, and the Bible says you get a new identity. Why is that important? Because if you base your life on a faulty worldview, the results are disastrous. You need to get in line with truth and reality. Not what you think might be true, but what is actually true in life. And that's why we're going to look at what is real and what is true in this world and what is not true. And I'd suggest to you that there are six popular worldviews we find here in our Australian culture. These are worldviews that you see in Australia every day of your life. You probably have never labelled them before. But we are constantly bombarded by these ideas from the people around us. We get them in classrooms. We get them in books. We get them in the media. We get them in music. And we get them in advertising. So number one, this first worldview can be summarized in the word more. 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 What is that worldview called? It's called materialism. Materialism says that the only thing that really matters in life is the acquisition of things. Materialists believe in life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. If I can't afford it, that's okay. I have a credit card. The materialist confuses our value with our valuables. They're not the same thing. We think that if I have more, I'm worth more. No. Your net worth and your self-worth are not the same thing. A lot of people think, what does it take to be happy? Just a little bit more. And that's called materialism. Jesus loved to challenge conventional wisdom. In fact, one of the things I love about Jesus is that he frequently said this. Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus would frequently say, you have heard it said, but I tell you this. And he would say it over and over again. You've heard it said, but I tell you this. What's he doing? He's challenging conventional wisdom. Jesus challenge the conventional wisdom of the materialist. He said this in Luke chapter 15 and verse chapter 12 verse 15. A man's life does not exist in the abundance of his possessions. In other words, do not judge your life by how much you have. The greatest things in life are not things. He challenged the view of the materialist. The second worldview you hear a lot about is I have to think of me first. And we live in a me first mentality world. A serve-yourself world that says it's all about me. And most commercials cater to this viewpoint of it being all about me. Like, have it your way. We do it all for you. Obey your thirst. You have to think of what is best for you. You deserve it. The last 40 years... our generation has been called the me generation or the culture of narcissism. What is this view of I have to think of me first? It's called individualism. Individualism says that I do not really care what it does to the children or what it does to you. I'm walking out of this marriage. I do not really care what it does to the people at work. I'm not going to be responsible. I have to think of me first. And again, Jesus taught a totally different worldview. In Matthew 16, verse 25, he says this, if you try to keep your life for yourself, that is a self-centered, individualistic life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life to me, you will find true life. Jesus says you only begin to live when you begin to give your life away. Significance in life does not come from serving yourself. It comes from serving God and others. Significance does not come from status, from salary, from success. It comes from serving, by serving God and serving others. And that's where significance comes from. And this worldview is called hedonism. Hedonism is simply the desire that says the most important thing in life is how I feel. And if I feel good, then it's good. If I feel bad, then it's bad. Your feelings become the judge of everything. You're living for pleasure. And the number one goal of the life of the hedonist is to feel good. Pleasure is never the goal. It is the byproduct of doing the right thing. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 21 and verse 17. And I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. Are you addicted to frills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. Do you know that Mick Jagger has been singing "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" for 50 years? Why? Because the pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. Now here's another worldview. And it's summed up in the whatever works for you. It does not matter if it's right or wrong. It does not matter if it hurts anybody or not. If it works for you, fine. In our multicultural world, in our pluralistic world, this one is a real popular view. Because nobody wants to say what you are doing is not right. The only thing that is wrong in our society today, a lot of people believe, is when you tell somebody something's wrong. Then you are wrong. And this is behind the idea, whatever works for you. And there's a problem with that. There are things that work that are evil. And if you bug me and you really irritate me, I could shoot you and you'd be out of my life. And that would be very pragmatic. It worked for me. The only problem is it's evil. And it was pragmatism behind Hitler's decision to kill 6 million Jews in World War II. Whatever works, wipe them out. It might have worked for him, but it was evil. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 21 and verse 16. There is a way that seems right for a man, but in the end, it leads to death. A lot of things might seem right, whatever works for you, but in the end, it leads to death. All ideas have consequences. Whatever works for you, that's pragmatism. Now here's another one. God does not exist. Or if he does exist, he does not matter. This worldview is called naturalism. Naturalism is also called atheism. But most atheists do not even want to admit that they are atheists. It says, I just believe that everything in life is a result of random chance. We're all accidents of nature. There's no grand creator. There is no grand design. There's no God. God does not exist. God does not matter. Let me let you in on a little secret. If God does not exist and God doesn't matter, then you don't matter. That is the logical, rational conclusion of that worldview. Because if there is no God, and God does not matter, then you don't matter. Because then you are just educated slime. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. From the beginning of creation, God has shown what he is like by all he has done. In other words, we look at nature and we see a lot of things about God. We know that God is creative. We know God is powerful. We know God likes diversity. We know God is organized. There's a lot of things we know about God by just looking at nature. Without even reading the Bible, we can see what our Creator is like. Romans 1 and verse 20 says, from the beginning of creation, God has shown what he is like by all that he has made. And that is why those people who don't have any excuse. They know about God, but they do not honour him or even thank him. They claim to be wise, but they are fools. And the Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is naturalism. And as I said, if God does not exist, then it doesn't matter, and you don't either. Now here's another one that we find a lot. You are your own God. If we do not worship God, we worship something. And a lot of times we just make it ourselves. The idea of you are your own God is very popular in Australia. This worldview, which says I am the master of my life, I am the determiner of my destiny, I'm in charge, it's a lot of self-help stuff, a lot of New Age stuff. You are divine. You're a God. We love to hear that. And that was the original temptation that Satan told Adam and Eve. He said, eat this and you'll be gods. We just want to be our own gods. But we are not God. And we're not even a tiny, tiny, mini-me God. If you are God, why can't you solve all your problems? And if you are God, please solve all the problems of the world. But we say, I'm the master of my fate. And we think that we have more control than we do. And that worldview is called humanism. There's a view, this is the view of the New Age movement. It's ironic, but as I said, God wired us to worship something. And if we don't worship God, we end up worshipping ourselves. It's amazing to me that a lot of people would rather worship something that God created or that they created themselves instead of something who is the Creator. And the Bible says this in Romans 1 and verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worship created things rather than the Creator. You can go all around the world and find people worshipping little idols that they have made. Stone idols, rock idols, crystals, wooden idols. They're worshipping something that they themselves created or somebody else created. Or you can come to Australia and we worship our own idols. And they're called cars and homes and many other status symbols. There's one other worldview. And now this is the one the Bible talks about. God made me for his purposes. And the Bible calls that theism. Theism comes from theo, which is the Greek word for God. Theology is the study of God. And by the way, the names Timothy and Dorothy, both of those names mean lover of God. The Bible says that God created us for a purpose. Judaism and Christianity both are theistic worldviews that God made us for a purpose. And Colossians 1:16 says this, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him." Everything, absolutely everything, was created by God for a purpose. By God and for God. And until you understand that, life does not make sense. Now, there are two common myths about what you believe. One of them is the sincerity myth, and the other is the situational myth. The sincerity myth goes like this. Doesn't matter what you believe, just so long as you are sincere. Have you ever heard that one? It doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you are sincere. There's only one problem with that. You can be sincerely wrong. And I've been sincerely wrong many, many times in my life. Anybody else want to admit that you've been sincerely wrong? I thought it was going to work out. I was sure. I was confident. I was sincere that it would work out. And it didn't. So sincerity is not enough. When I have a doctor who's working on me, operating on me, and I'm laying there on the table, I want more than sincerity. I want competency. I don't want to hear the doctor say when he's operating on me, "Oops, I sincerely didn't mean to do that." Now, the other myth is a situational myth. The situational myth says it doesn't really matter what you believe because it all depends on the circumstance. And you can believe one thing in one situation and then another in another situation and another in another. That causes enormous amounts of stress in your life because it doesn't make sense. The fact is, those worldviews that we've just considered are all in competition with each other. I don't know if you realise it, but they are all competing for your time or your energy or your efforts and especially for your money. You cannot believe them all at the same time. And when you do, that creates stress in your life. And that's why it's important that we understand what we believe. The Bible tells us there are three reasons why it's important what you believe. Why is that so? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." The first reason why you need to know what you believe and why you believe it is because it shapes your life. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, your life is being shaped by something that you're not even aware of. The Bible tells us that our beliefs determine our behavior. Our vision determines our values. What we see determines what we sense, and we need to work on what we believe. If there are some things in your life you want to change, You don't change them from the outside in. You change them from the inside out. You start with your thought life, not by trying to change external things. It starts in the mind. Beliefs determine behaviour. Change is from the inside out. Had some Christians been with Jesus when he landed at Gadarene and he saw that wild and naked man the Bible talks about, they would have tried to clothe him first to change the external. Jesus just went out and said, "What's your name? Who are you? What's your identity?" In other words, you start with the way the person sees themselves. There's another reason why. If you have a faulty worldview, it causes all kinds of problems in your life unnecessarily. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they deal with what he reveals, they are most blessed. Folks, I want your life to be blessed. This is not rocket science. It says if you want your life to be blessed, you deal with what God reveals. You pay attention and get your worldview in line with reality and truth and not popular opinion. There's a third reason. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Why does it matter what I believe? The Bible says, and now this is coming from the Amplified Translation, always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. Did you know that God expects you to not only know what you believe and why you believe it, but he also expects you to be able to explain it to other people? Our world needs people who know what they believe and why they believe it and can explain it to others. Because most of the people in the world don't have a clue as to what they really believe. This is the source of all the problems in the world. Conflicts in worldviews, competing worldviews. You cannot hold them all at the same time, and it causes all kinds of problems. Quickly, how do I strengthen my worldview? Let me give you a quick overview. You have to learn, discern, turn, and have concern. Number one, learn the truth. That's the first step in building a strong biblical worldview, a view of reality. You must learn the truth. Jesus concluded his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with a story. He said, two guys go out and they build houses. One builds his house on a shaky foundation of sand. The other guy builds his house on a solid foundation of rock. And when the storms come and the winds blow, the waves rise and everything crashes in, he said that the guy who built his house in the sand, it collapses. It falls in, it crumbles. There's nothing left to it. But the guy who built his house on the solid foundation of rock, it stands the test of time. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23, verse 23. Learn the truth and never reject it. Get wisdom, self-control, and understanding. Two, discern what is false. 1 John 4, verse 1 says in the Message paraphrase, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There's a lot of lying teachers loose in the world. And I just love the Bible. Sometimes it's just flat out in your face. And it tells you exactly what it is. It's just rip-snorting true. Doesn't beat about the bush. It says that there are people out there and they're just liars. They say they're speaking for God, but they're not. So you need to turn the truth, you need to learn the truth, and then you can discern what's false. And number three, turn from the world to the Word. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. And that's what most of us do. We don't even think about it. And the verse goes on, instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God says, turn from the world to the Word. Finally, learn, discern, turn, and then four, concern yourself with God's agenda. Jesus said this. It's a promise in Luke chapter 12, verse 31. God will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. You can't have two primary concerns. I want to make a lot of money. That's my number one concern. And I want to serve God. No. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. He didn't say you should not. He said you cannot. You can't have two number ones in your life. So what's going to be number one and what's going to be number two? What's going to be secondary? What's going to be number one? He says, put me first. He says, put me first. Put God number one in your life. And you will see amazing things. He says, and I will then take care of the rest. Friends, our number one goal is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. In other words, be innocent regarding evil and perversion. And the verse goes on, but in your thinking, be adults. And what we need today in our world, more than anything else, are people who have a clear world view. They know what they believe, and they know why they believe it. They can explain it to people in the world who haven't got the slightest clue what they believe. And most important of all, they live it. They live what they believe. And that, my friends, will change the world. Let us pray. Loving Father, help us to accept your truth and to apply it to our own lives so we can share it and live it with those around us who live in darkness because they have no idea of their need to accept your free salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.